This is Radio Health Journal, a weekly news magazine with the latest in health, medicine, and technology. I'm Shel Lustig.
I'm Nancy Benson.
And I'm Reed Pence. This week, parents who fake a child's illness to get sympathy, and doctors are often duped.
It's heartbreaking. If you look at his chest, there's about four different scars on his chest, and those scars are never going to go away.
Then, coronavirus, a global health emergency. But how much should we worry here?
We're going to see many more of those type of folks who are anxious and concerned when they really have no risk for it.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new law that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-568-1647. That's 800-568-1647. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-568-1647.
From the day he was born back in 2009, Christopher Bowen was a sickly child, or so it seemed. But the boy's father, Ryan Crawford, was suspicious of his estranged partner, Christopher's mom.
She was overprotective in the very beginning, and always felt as if she knew exactly what needs to happen.
Over his first 8 years of life, Christopher was taken to the hospital more than 300 times by his mother for a whole variety of ailments and endured 13 major surgeries.
It started with the things such as saying that he has muscular dystrophy, that he has heart palpitations, that he has a malformation of the lungs, that he needs to wear leg braces, that he can't drink any type of milk, that he needs to be fed through a G-tube, which the G-tube end up turning into needing a central line put in.
However, in reality, Christopher wasn't a sickly child. He didn't have all those illnesses. He wasn't sick at all. His mother made it all up and elaborately fooled doctors for years until one of them finally called Child Protective Services.
This is the second time that a doctor had called CPS within an eight-year span. What happened in 2017 was Christopher actually had seizures. And once his mother rushed him to the hospital and they performed all type of tests and scans, they realized that these seizures were not produced by brain activity, that these seizures had to have been self-induced. So obviously some type of medication she was giving him, or pretty much in the CPS affidavit, it would pretty much say poison.
Christopher was a victim of his mother's mental illness, a disorder known as Munchausen syndrome by proxy. It's what's called a factitious disorder, where people fake their own illness or that of someone they're caring for, and they may be more common than we know.
Some people feign, exaggerate, or even lie outright or induce illness in themselves for reasons that can be hard to understand because they're intangible.
That's Dr. Mark Feldman, clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of Alabama and a specialist in factitious disorders. He's the author of the book Dying to Be Ill, True Stories of Medical Deception.
They're after intention, sympathy, care, concern, control, things that they feel they've lost in their own lives and which they can get fairly quickly by falsely claiming to be sick, especially in a dramatic way.
In the cases of factitious disorder imposed on another, the perpetrator is admired for being a sacrificing parent of a sick child. So it may be a different type of attention The parent may present his or herself as an advocate for their sick child, fighting for services and treatment.
Dr. Mary Sanders is Clinical Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the Stanford University Medical Centers and a specialist in disorders including Munchausen by proxy.
Also, just our culture tends to try to provide sick kids with perks, such as special visits from famous people or special activities. And we do see perpetrators seeking this type of attention through Make-A-Wish or the media. And this kind of attention may be more forthcoming for sick kids versus sick adults.
Kids may enjoy trips to Disney World or hospital visits from sports stars, but it's not about the child. As far as the perpetrating parent is concerned, it's about them.
They're after attention, control. Some of them are very rageful in their personal lives, and their rage gets projected onto their children. It can be a situation where children have undergone hundreds of medical appointments and maybe dozens of surgical procedures because most doctors believe what their patients and what families tell them. That's part of being a good doctor, in fact, is to listen closely to what patients and their families tell us. I can think of examples from consultations I've done where the deceptions have lasted literally decades, that is, into the child's adulthood. I can think of one case where a child grew up becoming convinced that he had a spinal condition called spina bifida, and he was confined to a wheelchair. Even as a 26-year-old, he thought he required the wheelchair, but he never had any kind of physical ailment at all.
The range of illnesses and conditions that have been falsified is vast. Almost any condition can be falsified or exaggerated. Some typical examples that we've come across would include a parent who may suffocate her infant to induce apnea, reporting seizures that don't exist, or reporting the child is vomiting uncontrollably, cannot tolerate feeds, needs a feeding tube.
Feldman and Sanders say mothers are the usual perpetrators. Fathers are often marginally involved in the child's life or completely absent, so they don't see or stop the abuse. Children come to believe they're sickly, and if someone starts to look like they're catching on, Feldman says the parent often simply takes the child and moves on to start the process all over again.
Doctor shopping and hospital shopping, even going to other states, and in rare cases other countries, is a response of mothers when they perceive that maybe the deceptions are over and they've been discovered. Now, there are criminal consequences in some cases to what they've done, and so part of their fleeing to a new jurisdiction may be to avoid prosecution. They maybe have Child Protective Services after them a bit, and communication among Child Protective Service agencies can be very poor. So by going to a new jurisdiction, even within the same state, sometimes they can start with a whole new medical team and perpetrate the very behaviors that led to Child Protective Service suspicions in the first place.
Feldman says sometimes perpetrators back up their claims by falsifying lab results or manufacturing symptoms. Maybe they'll add blood to a urine specimen, manipulate a wound so it doesn't heal, or inject their child with bacteria to produce a raging infection. Unfortunately, it may go as far as the perpetrator needs it to.
Of course, it can go way too far, to the point of death. And while that is not usually what the perpetrator wants, perpetrators do not plan usually for their child to die. But unfortunately, this can occur. Mistakes can happen. And, for example, if a child is being smothered or poisoned, the child may not survive. And actually, sometimes the determination that Munchausen by proxy has occurred, we don't see that until a second child is being presented with falsified illness after the first child has died.
But how on earth could doctors miss something like that? And how could a parent do that to their child? Sanders says in the flesh, it's hard to detect, and doctors miss it because, in part, they can't imagine a parent would perpetrate such a crime on their child.
Parents who engage in Munchausen by proxy abuse can be extremely convincing. So yes, doctors are often deceived. And, you know, doctors, especially pediatricians, depend on the parent to give information about the child. They use that information in their clinical assessments. You know, so they are used to trusting parents. So missing Munchausen by proxy child abuse is often due to not taking it into consideration. because, for the most part, parents are giving us accurate information. And we've seen many cases in which the non-offending parent does suspect, tries to stop the abuse, only to not be believed by the doctors in the courts at times.
That's exactly what happened to Ryan Crawford.
From 2009, I had been fighting for custody and explaining to the courts that Christopher was not sick, that he was not ill, as his mother would state, that he did not have the symptoms that she was trying to portray, that he wasn't dying, and no one would ever believe me.
The legal system tends not to take these cases seriously, and once again, I think that stems from insufficient education. Munchausen by proxy always involves emotional abuse, and often, if not almost always, involves physical abuse as well, though it may be at the hands of doctors rather than the mother directly. And yet, these mothers tend to get a slap on the wrist, if anything.
Uncovering medical child abuse and getting a child out often takes a lot of investigation. Sometimes doctors finally realize it's more than just bad luck when the same illness happens to more than one child in the same family.
The best red flag is when there is persistent illness that does not respond to treatment and the story doesn't fit what we see clinically. Basically, if the medical presentation does not make sense, that's the biggest red flag.
We also often try to arrange for what's called the separation test. We may just say to the mother, look, you've been here with the child in the hospital for day after day, if not week after week. Why don't you take the weekend off? Well, we find that during the weekend, the child has a miraculous improvement. The mother returns on Monday, and the child is very sick again.
Treating a parent who's committed medical child abuse is difficult because perpetrators seldom want help or admit to having a problem. So sometimes a parent who's had children taken away by authorities has more kids and does it again. Children who've been abused may have physical injuries to overcome, and therapists experienced in factitious disorders can be hard to find. With help, many successfully move on, but Feldman says they have hurdles to overcome.
Many of them, as you might expect, develop post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of what they've gone through. Others have a very kind of strained, odd relationship with the medical profession in the future. That is, because of the trauma, they may resist getting even medically necessary treatment. They just don't want to go to the hospital or the doctor's office, no matter how pressing their physical ailments are, because it reminds them of being out of control and subject to the whims of their mothers when they were brought to the doctor in the past. Others become Munchausen patients themselves.
Ryan Crawford has had his son Christopher in counseling, and he's done well so far. He's been away from his mother's abuse for a couple of years, and she's serving a 6-year prison sentence for reckless injury to a child. But Ryan worries that Christopher will find it all difficult to deal with as he gets older, the realization that his mother abused him so much.
It's really heartbreaking because those scars are never going to go away. You know, we talk about internal scars, you know, the things that he's going to have to deal with mentally. But yeah, physically, if he actually took his shirt off, then you would actually be able to see the actual scars. And it's hurtful. It's frustrating. I still get angry. You know, when he showers, he gets out, you know, walks out without his shirt on. And, you know, I see those things. And it's truly heartbreaking that his mother put him under such horrible treatment.
You can find out more on the website of the American Professional Society on the Abuse of Children at APSAC.org. You can find out more about all of our guests on our website, RadioHealthJournal.org. I'm Reed Pence.
Coming up, what coronavirus means to you when Radio Health Journal continues.
Your home is important. That's why GEICO helps make it easy to save on homeowners insurance. Because home is more than just a place. Home is where you build a giant pillow fort in your living room. And when people ask why you have a pillow fort in your living room, you say it's for your dog. And when they ask, well, what kind? You say, chocolate lab. And weave a web of lies that's almost as intricate as the crown molding in Fort Pillow. The GEICO Insurance Agency could help protect the pillow soft fortress you call home. Call GEICO and see how easy it is to switch and save on homeowners insurance.
I'm not a big talker. I am a big doer. But sometimes the only way to solve the problem is to get on the horn and figure it out. So the only people I like talking to? Grainger. With knowledgeable product experts, ready with the answers to my toughest questions, calling Grainger is the one conversation I don't mind having. From machining and motor parts to valves and vacuum pumps. When it comes to solving my problems, Grainger's got my back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thousands of cases, hundreds of deaths. The coronavirus in China has prompted a public health response unlike any ever seen before, with whole metropolitan areas there locked down. The World Health Organization quickly declared a public health emergency, and U.S. airlines curtailed China service. But the virus has still made its way to our shores and prompted the federal government to quarantine Americans for the first time in 50 years.
This is a new virus, and the Chinese microbiologist, the virologist, very quickly identified that this was a coronavirus, a novel one. They sequenced the genome and gave that information to the world scientific community, lickety-split. Now, how the outbreak was handled is another matter and gets us into the healthcare system in China and how it functions or doesn't function very optimally.
That's Dr. William Schaffner, professor of preventive medicine and infectious diseases at the Vanderbilt University Medical Center.
The Chinese health authorities and the government of China are doing a ginormous public health experiment, the largest in the history of humankind. They are quarantining millions upon millions of people in an effort to reduce the spread of this virus. Down the road, we may be able to assess how effective that was, but it is a terrific attempt to reduce the spread to other parts of China and, of course, to other parts of the world.
The virus may be new, but it's a lot like others we've seen before. And that's one reason health authorities were so concerned when it surfaced.
Coronavirus is a member of a whole family of viruses, which the human strains give us colds, nothing more than that. But it seems that they also, many of them, live in animals. And occasionally, these animal coronaviruses jump species and can infect humans. And we've had a couple of examples of that in the past. There was SARS back in 2002, 2003, and then another one which we call MERS, the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome viruses. They came from respectively civet cats and bats and camels. The SARS virus had finally a mortality rate that was down around 10% or thereabout. That's pretty darn high. It was spread best by people who were already very, very sick. This virus appears to have a much lower fatality rate, thank goodness, but it appears at this juncture to be more readily spread from person to person.
Coronavirus is spread the same way colds and the flu are spread, through the air, often by coughing or sneezing. And while you may see videos of people in China wearing surgical masks to try to keep them from getting sick, Schaffner says that doesn't really work against coronavirus or the flu.
Why is it that the CDC does not recommend the use of masks during every influenza season? After all, influenza is a respiratory virus that is transmitted exactly the same way the coronavirus is, or very similarly. And the answer is that the scientific basis for the use of masks by the general population, not the healthcare workers, but the general population, is scanty at best. There's no real evidence that that helps. And I would add that the surgical masks that people can buy in their drugstores are designed not to prevent the acquisition of viral infection, but to prevent surgical infections.
The chances of getting coronavirus are very low in the United States. At first, it would look a lot like the flu, with fever, a cough, sore throat, and just feeling sick.
Anyone could potentially get a coronavirus. But those who get truly sick are usually those with the more severe cases are those with weakened immune system. Perhaps they're got cancer and they're on chemotherapy agents or a transplant and on immunosuppressives, and the elderly, folks that are in general have less hardy immune systems.
That's Dr. John Mark Hirschhorn, professor of emergency medicine, epidemiology, and public health at the University of Maryland, and chairman of the American College of Emergency Physicians.
And so for most people, it would, again, you know, you can get a really bad cold, you may get sick, but for most people, it's not been a life-threatening problem. We're much more likely to get people coming in and say that they think they have it, and then when you start talking to them, they don't. Well, we had a patient the other day or someone who called in. They were concerned. Their roommates were concerned because they had just gotten back from Hong Kong. But when we started talking to the individual, the person really was not at risk. They weren't in a place where there was transmission, and we were able to reassure her and reassure her roommates that it was not the coronavirus. And we're going to see many more of those type of folks who are anxious and concerned when they really have no risk for it.
Coronavirus has been around for only 2.5 months. China reported it to world health officials just before New Year's Day. So there's still a lot about it we don't know. For example, we're unsure of the number of people who may have been infected and have no symptoms at all. So the American public health response for now involves what Hirschhorn calls the three I's.
The key for this is what we do, which is to identify, isolate, and inform, and those are really the three I's. And so first is we need to make sure that we identify who's at risk and who has it, who are true disease cases and potentially people who are at risk. And then we need to make sure we isolate them so other people don't get infected. And then we need to make sure that we keep people informed as to what's going on and why. So the three I's.
However, if you're really worried about getting sick, people in the United States might be best concerned about a fourth I, influenza.
At the moment, we have a large epidemic in the United States of coronavirus anxiety. In contrast, for example, influenza has caused or is inactive in every state in the country right now. It's caused thousands of hospitalizations, and I'm afraid by the time the season is over, there will be thousands of deaths once again attributed to influenza. So of the two, in any immediate sense, influenza is the greatest risk.
And though the flu season is well along, Schaffner says it's never too late for a flu shot. Just be sure to put it on the calendar for next fall as well. Our studio producer is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-833-0398. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help now at 800-833-0398. 800-833-0398. 800-833-0398.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you can donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-835-1478. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now. Call 1-800-835-1478. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher for donating. Call now, 1-800-835-1478. That's 1-800-835-1478.
Medical notes this week. Physical activity helps prevent obesity virtually from birth. A new study in the journal Obesity shows that infants who are less active in their first year of life accumulate more fat in their lower torso, a risk for obesity later in life. Researchers used accelerometers like Fitbits attached to infants' ankles to accurately gauge activity. Scientists say the evidence suggests getting babies crawling and walking as soon as possible. Low doses of lithium may show promise in treating dementia. A study on rats in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease shows that a certain formulation of lithium can reverse Alzheimer's and even reverse some of its effects in early stages of the disease. Low doses may even avoid some of lithium's side effects. Researchers are still years away from experiments on people. About half of people who are recovering from a concussion have sleep problems, but they sleep better and heal faster when they're exposed to blue light early in the morning. A study in the journal Neurobiology of Disease shows that half an hour of blue light early in the day helps to reset circadian rhythms, increasing daytime alertness and promoting better sleep at night. Sleep is when the brain repairs itself. Researchers say concussion patients did better on brain speed and efficiency tests after getting blue light therapy. And finally, maybe two genders are becoming more equal. A study in the Journal of Time Use Research finds that teenage boys and girls spend almost equal amounts of time doing housework, about a half hour per day. And that's a big change from about 20 years ago, when girls did twice the household chores that boys did. But that near equality hasn't filtered up to their parents just yet. Married women still do housework twice as much as married men, but at least they don't do four times as much as they did 20 years ago. And that's Medical Notes this week. More in a moment.
If you're worried about your cholesterol, hear how others are taking charge with Garlic.
My doctor said my cholesterol was borderline, but I've been taking Garlic, and it works.
I've been taking Garlic for years.
My pharmacist recommended Garlic. He said there's an ingredient in garlic that helps maintain healthy cholesterol.
I take Garlic every day. No garlic breath.
Lots of people like you are choosing Garlic to help maintain a healthy cholesterol. Garlic, it's cholesterol's natural enemy. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Use as directed.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Radio Health Journal is a production of MediaTrax Communications. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at radiohealthjournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.